All right, welcome back to the Badass Lifter podcast. Recently this week, I released an episode on why I work with women, because it's a very common question that I get and that it is definitely not the norm. And I got a lot of responses about this episode. Now, some of them are good. Some of them liked it. They were like, I understand where you're coming from. This makes sense. Thanks for explaining this. Some even wondered like why the episode was necessary, because for them, they were like, yeah, like men can help women. Like, I don't see what the problem is. And I also got some responses who had some pretty significant critiques. And I got enough responses that I think it's worth responding to some of the feedback that I got, kind of clearing some stuff up and maybe clearing the air on some of the concerns or critiques that some people had who listened to the episode. So I picked the main four critiques that I got from the episode. I'm going to go over those in detail. And yeah, I hope that you guys enjoy this episode and that helps clear things up. The first question I had, or critique, is, by working with women, I am alienating half the population, being men, and it holds me back from helping more people. So at the 4 minutes and 14 second mark, I did mention that if men want my help, I'm like happy to train them. Like, I don't have any issues with that. I've had man clients in the past, so I don't really see this as like a major issue. Like, if they want help, like, you know, I would never say like no, like, you know, happy to help them. I also don't think this makes a lot of sense in practice. The truth is that there's only so many people I can work with at once. I can't take an infinite amount of people. Like, that would be great. I would love to help as many people as possible. But the truth is that if I'm helping people one-on-one, there's only so many people that I can take. And that's usually between like the 15 to 20 person at a time, like around there. Sometimes I go a little bit more than that, but that's pretty rare. So I wouldn't be able to help more people. I would only be able to help a wider variety of people, but in actuality, the amount of people who would be helped would be about the same. So I wanted to address that critique first, because I understand where they're coming from, but in practice, I don't think I would actually be able to help more people if I also had a page specifically for men. Okay. So that's the first one. The second is, people aren't upset with me working with women. They are upset with me working exclusively with women. So I'm going to say that just from my own experience, like, both have existed. I have had both direct and indirect communication about how men should not work with women in general, that like we should just stick to our gender specifically. So while there are some people who don't like it when men work exclusively with women, there are also people who don't like men working with women, period. And I was addressing kind of both of those in the conversation. So maybe that was something they were just unaware about, but like, I have had critiques that like, yeah, like a man can never work with a woman because they don't have the lived experience. And so I was addressing that as well. Like, both do exist. I don't think this makes sense in reality. And I'm going to kind of explain why, or in like the practical component of it. Personal training, at least the way I do it, is a one-on-one experience. So I'm training with, I'm just going to use a random name. Like, I'm training with Carol. Me and Carol are working on her goals one-on-one. If I also work with Dave and a separate one-on-one experience, that doesn't change the experience for Carol in really any way. Like, I'm not a better trainer to Carol because I also train Dave, you know, in a different one-on-one experience. So that doesn't really make sense to me in practice, because at the end of the day, like, my experience with a one-on-one person is going to be one-on-one, and who I work with outside of that is not really changing their experience in the training process. So now what this could be is, it makes me wonder about the intentions, or why someone would work with men, or sorry, why someone would work with women one-on-one, which is fair. But I've already addressed that in the previous podcast episode, so I don't feel like I need to do that again on this podcast episode. If you want to know why I work exclusively with women, I explained that in the past episode. Take a look at that. So I think in terms of why they would do that, I think that's a fair critique. But in terms of like the practical component of it, or what that actually looks like in like training for the person, I don't think that really makes sense to me. So I appreciate the feedback. I get where they're coming from. But yeah, that would be like my response to that. The third is how I talked about women getting into strength training does not represent the journey of all women. So I did say this was in general at like the 3 minute and 38 second mark. Of course, what gets men and women into strength training is going to vary. You know, it's not going to be just one experience, or this is the experience of all women, or this is the experience of all men, of course. However, my story was about how women got into strength training, specifically based on my experience and what I saw when I worked at the commercial gym. And I saw like a pretty consistent pattern, but not as a hard rule. So in general, this is what I saw about women getting into strength training and focusing just on strength training instead of the weight on the scale. So while it does not represent the journey of all women, there is, in my opinion, like a general pattern that I've seen, at least with the women that I've worked with. And also this pattern continues to exist with people that I work with. Like, there are still people I work with now, new lifters came in with like, you know, they would say this about themselves, like low self-esteem, low self-confidence. Strength training built that for them, both in and out of the gym. It's changed their lives. Like, this is their words, not mine. And so I've noticed that that pattern continues to exist with the people that I work with. And so while it is not the journey of all women, of course, generally speaking, I think this pattern still exists. This is anecdotal for sure. Like, maybe there's data where like this isn't the case. And obviously because of the niche that I work in, there's going to be certain people who really like it and certain people who don't, or it doesn't resonate with them. And so that could just be the world that I live in, but this is the pattern I've seen. This is the pattern I continue to see. And so that's kind of why when I talked about the journey of strength training for women, that's kind of where it came from. Now, this last one, I think this one, in my opinion, is like the best critique of the episode. And I would have changed the episode if this was the case. Switch was, you did not acknowledge one of the reasons women don't want to work with men is that they've been harassed. It's not just a preference, but also can be like a safety thing. So this is totally fair. If I were to redo this episode, I think that is something that I would have mentioned, that like, I did mention that women, if they have a preference to work with women, that they can do that and that's totally fine and whatever gets them into the gym. But I didn't mention that one of the reasons that could be is that there are male trainers in the past who have given bad experiences to women, both in like a harassment kind of setting or made them uncomfortable or various reasons. That's totally fair. And if that's the reason you want to work with a woman because it makes you feel more secure or safe in the gym, that's good. Great. Like, you should go to that. Like, totally understand. And if I were to redo the episode, I think I would talk about that more. I think in my head, the reason that I didn't is because in my head, the episode was going to be about like answering the question that I commonly get, but in like a more public setting. So I didn't think about moving it towards like that part of the conversation, because I was trying to make it about like, I'm answering the question that commonly comes to me about my training. So, but that's fair. I think if I were to redo the episode, I would spend more time talking about like, yes, there is, you know, history of male trainers harassing women in the training environment, both online and like especially in person, and that it's not like just like a preference, but it can also be a security or feeling safe. Totally fair. I think this was like the critique that I appreciated the most and is worth talking about. Like, this is a worth conversation. It's going to have to, you know, and like many people would have to be part of this conversation, both like the people who hire trainers, the trainers themselves, how we talk about training in particular. Like, there's so many levels to how we could talk about this. I think that that's, you know, like that honestly could just be like a whole conversation on its own, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning. And there are some very, you know, the name Brett Contreras came up a few times in terms of the feedback, and I did some research. I actually didn't know him very well, looked into it, and yeah, there's some pretty shady things that he has done or said in the past that I think were totally fair. And I can get why women would not want to work with men after seeing an experience like that online, especially in his case, he was such a huge trainer, right? So, and a man working exclusively with women. So totally fair. So I think if I were to redo the episode, would have talked more about that. I think that's worth bringing up. And I think that was like a fair critique. Here's kind of what I hope happens from this conversation. There will always be some men who work with some women. So just like the numbers that I found was like about half to two thirds of all trainers are male, and about half to two thirds of all people looking for training are women. which means that there are going to be men who work with women, like, just by the numbers. Like, there is not going to be this world where all men work with all men and all women work with all women. Like, we're going to have people cross over. Like, it's going to be a thing that happens. The goal that I hope from this is that if a man works with women, we give them the benefit of the doubt, but we verify. And if they're not doing a good job or they're inappropriate with their women lifters, that we call it out and that we address it when we see it, whether that's bringing it to a manager or whether that's talking to a colleague or whatever it might look like. It would look different in person than versus online, but I think, like, it's important to call it out when we do see that. And then, yeah, like that we just call it out. So I think we get the benefit of the doubt, but we verify, and then we kind of go from there. I appreciate the thoughts. I hope that this was a productive conversation. And yeah, thanks for listening to the Badass Lifter podcast.